Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, pet allergies. Why there seem to be more people allergic to cats than dogs. Keeping our pets safe during the holidays and what pup just was named best in show. We'll start with something from the allergy store. Can you be allergic to cats and not dogs? The United States is going to the dogs, cats too. According to the American Pet Products Association, there are about 78 million dogs and 85.8 million cats living in homes in the U.S. That means almost 44% of all households have a dog and 35% have a cat. In case you didn't notice, there are more cats per household than dogs. As it should be. That's an incredible amount of shed fur, skin, and pet dander in our homes. That's a problem for people with cat or dog allergies. But can you be allergic to one and not the other? Is it possible to be allergic to dogs and live in a house filled with cats? What causes allergies? Pet allergies, like all allergies, is caused by a confused immune system. It's a terrible case of mistaken identity. The body is exposed to harmless bits of proteins from the environment. Instead of recognizing these proteins as innocent, the immune system mistakenly identifies them as germs and creates antibodies to attack them. Much in the way the body creates antibodies as a result of exposure to disease such as measles, it creates antibodies in response to this protein. These are called human immunoglobulin E, or IgE for short. With germs, it means the body is ready for war with the next exposure. Unfortunately, the allergic person, the body goes to war with every exposure to harmless proteins. In other words, every time you are exposed to the protein, the body thinks it needs to fight a germ. That's why allergies can give you the same sniffling, sneezing, wheezing, coughing, and itchy or watery eyes that go along with a cold. Allergies also cause inflammation. That inflammation can also lead to eczema, fluid in the inner ear, or even asthma. What causes pet allergy? Pet allergy is caused by, dogs produce CAN-F1 in their saliva. This is the protein that causes allergic reactions in people. Unlike cats, dogs don't produce the problem protein in their skin. However, when the dog licks its skin or fur, it spreads the protein from the saliva to the fur. So the skin and the fur end up coated in the protein. In cats, the primary cat allergen protein is FELD1. Cats produce this protein in their saliva and their sebaceous glands. The glands coat their skin with this protein. The protein from the skin gets spread to their fur. The protein is also found in the urine. Cats also produce albumin, a common protein found in eggs and blood. Allergy to this protein is not as common. Now, as you can see, the proteins are totally different, but the problem is the same. Can you be allergic to cats and not dogs? Yes. It is possible to be allergic to cats and not dogs. You can be allergic to dogs and not cats. However, the proteins are similar. If you are allergic to one furred mammal, you are likely allergic to most of the others. People that are allergic to cats and dogs don't realize that they are likely allergic to horses, goats, and rabbits as well. Most Americans aren't exposed to these animals on a regular basis, so they haven't had a chance to create the antibody. Because each animal produces different amounts of this protein, you can have a terrible allergic reaction to one cat, but not another. In another situation, you can be only mildly allergic to a dog that creates a small amount of protein but reacts strongly to a cat that produces more protein. Remember, cats have the protein in their saliva and on their skin. Because cats spend close to 30% of their time grooming, they are dedicated to spreading the protein from their saliva over as much of their body as possible. That's why cats appear to be more allergy-causing than dogs. They just produce more of the problem protein, and they spend lots of time spreading it. Don't ever fall for the claim that a cat or dog is hypoallergenic. If the animal is alive, it is producing the allergy-causing protein in its saliva. In the case of cats, its glands are at work pumping it out as well. How do pet allergens spread? Whether it's cat allergen or dog allergen, it leaves the animal and gets in the air. Once it is airborne, it is either inhaled or sticks to the first surface it touches. That can be a wall, a chair, a lamp, or even a shirt or the skin of its owner. No matter what it touches, as soon as it is disturbed, it is in the air again. As long as the protein is in the air, there is a chance you will inhale it. Inhaling the allergen starts the allergic reaction. If a dog licks you, you are getting a direct dose of the allergen. Also, dried saliva can flake off toys and pet beds and become airborne. The airborne allergen can stick to anything. Cat allergen is found in hospitals, airplanes, and other places you wouldn't expect to find it. That's because cat owners carry a coating of the allergen on their clothes, their skin, and their hair. Cat owners drop this allergen everywhere they go. Dog owners do the same thing, but because dogs don't produce the same quantity of allergen, dog owners don't spread as much. Can you live with pets and a pet allergy? Depending on your level of sensitivity and the amount of allergen your pet produces, it may be possible to live with pets and pet allergies. Studies have shown that infants exposed to animals have stronger immune systems. Living with pets and pet allergies means staying on top of the allergen. Vacuum and dust frequently while wearing a mask. Keep pets out of the bedroom. Run a HEPA filter, a HEPA-filtered air cleaner that is the right size for the room. Groom pets with Aller Pet Solution for either cats or dogs. If you have carpets, spray them regularly with a solution that will neutralize the protein. Aller Search ADMS and Ecology Works Anti-Allergen Solution are both easy to use. Is it possible to live with dogs and be allergic to cats? It is possible to live with dogs and be allergic to cats and vice versa. Our daughter is allergic to cats and has had them all her life. Either way, if you have pets and you have allergies, you need to learn to keep the allergen levels down. And with that background information in mind, Amy Sojai offers a bit more on the subject in this article on PetSafe.net. Fur facts. Why am I allergic to cats but not dogs? Hot summer months, as well as wintry weather, can mean more time spent indoors avoiding the sun or cold for both people and pets. For allergy sufferers, that may mean an increase in symptoms. Even if you aren't directly allergic to your cat or dog, they act like furry dust mops that trap and hold allergens like pollen and dust that do set you off. Why am I allergic to my pets? About 2% of the U.S. population is allergic to cats themselves. About 1/3 of cat allergic folks love kitties so much they're willing to put up with the sniffles. Allergy symptoms including itchy eyes, coughing, wheezing, and or hives. People can also be allergic to dogs, and the symptoms are similar. In addition, some folks become sensitized to dog saliva, so canine kisses can leave the person with an itchy rash or even hives. In the most severe cases, cat or dog allergies can make asthmatic people suffer dangerous asthmatic episodes, so pet allergies are nothing to sneeze at. Why am I allergic to cats but not dogs? Cat allergies are twice as common as dog allergies, according to the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. Asthma and Immunology. So if you react to cats, you may not have a problem with dogs at all. It doesn't really matter if your dog or cat has long or short fur, or differences in breed. There are some individual differences even among dogs or cats of the same breed. Here's why. Sensitive people don't react to pet hair at all. Instead, a specialized protein produced by dogs and cats causes the reaction. It's found primarily in the skin dander, but secondarily in the saliva and urine. In cats, this protein is designated FELD1, Felis domesticus. a similar protein, can, F1 or Canis familiaris, is produced in dogs. Any pet may provoke an allergic reaction. There's no such thing as a hypoallergenic pet, despite marketing claims you may hear. That said, many allergic people appear more able to tolerate the Siberian cat because these kitties produce much less of the FELD1 protein. You may also be able to tolerate individual pets, but not others. Who knows why? And hopefully, that's one of your own fur babies already. You're more likely to react to cat dander because FELD1 is one of the smallest, stickiest allergen molecules. It measures only 1/10 the size of a dust allergen. That allows the cat's FELD1 protein to float around the air much longer than other allergens, making them more readily available to inhale and thus cause a reaction. Also, people with allergies may already be more sensitive to other allergens, so the dust in cat litter may add to your cat-centric allergy attacks. While it's miserable to suffer allergies, many pet lovers don't want to give up their pets. Of course, your own physician can guide you about human health concerns, but there are steps pet owners can take to feel better without having to give up their special cat or dog. Here are 6 ways to reduce pet allergy symptoms. Create a pet-free zone, such as the bedroom, and make it off limits to the cat or dog. That gives you 8 or more hours a day of reduced exposure. Brush and or comb your pets thoroughly to get rid of hair otherwise shed in the house. Have a non-allergic family member take care of this duty. Cat people may react more to the dusty, perfumey litter than to the cat. This is a great excuse to have one of the kids take on pet potty cleaning duties so the allergy sufferers avoid exposure. An automatic cat litter box may also help cut down on dust exposure. Washing the pet weekly in plain water dramatically reduces allergic reactions by rinsing away the dander. If, like my dog Magic, your dog may welcome a dousing with the hose to cool off in hot weather, should your pet also be plagued with allergy, itchy, scratchy symptoms, rinsing off allergens trapped in the fur can relieve pet symptoms. For cats, simply take a wet washcloth and wipe down the fur every day. Avoid the cat's face, and that will help prevent the kitty from taking offense. Also, if you are allergic to pets, it's likely you're also reactive to other allergens. Simply reducing the dust load or other issues can help drop you below your sneeze threshold and make it more likely you can tolerate your pets. Invest in a HEPA filter or vacuum that helps capture allergens, for example, and reduce the woolly blankets, carpeted areas, and pet beds that collect and hold dust. After all, getting rid of our furry companions isn't something I can easily recommend. Purchasing extra allergy medicine may be an easy trade-off to keeping your cats and dogs. Next, we've talked about this before, but I thought we'd talk about it again. An office cat or dog won't just lower your stress levels. It may also boost your productivity, according to Ms. Moynihan and Lisa Borop in Business Insider Nederland. Nowadays, it's no longer such an outlandish idea to have a pet in the office. Marie-Jose Enders, who studies the relationship between animals and humans at the Open University, says office pets can help lower cortisol levels. The researcher also explained that people with dogs are perceived as friendlier, so having an office pet may help improve your relationships with your colleagues, too. When Mirtha Kusa of Dutch company Wallart and Kusa Public Affairs gets to work in the morning, there's always someone there to greet her. Office cat Sammy is sat on a desk waiting to be fed breakfast and given a fresh bowl of water. Until a few years ago, Sammy lived in a student house, explained Kusa, but the students had to leave and Sammy needed a new home. A colleague of ours happened to want a cat, but his partner didn't. So we all decided to take on the CAD as an office. For bigger companies like Google, it's nothing unusual to take your dog to the office. But the same seems to be the case for a lot of Dutch companies, too. On LinkedIn, there are currently 75 active vacancies at Dutch companies that mention an office dog. Nowadays, it seems it's not such an outlandish idea to have a pet in the office. There are actually quite a few advantages. For example, a few years ago, research by Virginia Commonwealth University showed that people experience less stress when a dog is around. Researchers took saliva samples from factory employees and looked at how much of the stress hormone cortisol was in it. The results showed that only the employees who had had a dog in their vicinity had low cortisol levels by the end of the day. It's definitely good for the work atmosphere to have a dog in the office, said Marie Jose Enders, who studies the relationship between animals and humans at the Open University. Not only does your cortisol level drop when you stroke a dog, you also produce more of the hormone oxytocin, which makes you feel more relaxed and happy. Having pets in the office also has other bonuses. If your boss is giving you a hard time, a dog can make it easier to put certain situations into perspective. You can just take a bit of space and walk the dog, said Enders. An animal at work makes people more motivated. They like their work more and they experience less stress. Esther Jonker, owner of Labradoodle Jep, noticed all these effects into video marketing company TVMC's office where she works. I've been taking Jep to the office every day for about 2 years now, she said, and he usually lifts the atmosphere considerably. If we're all a bit engrossed in something, he'll notice. He'll pop over and he'll press his nose against you for a stroke. When we've been very busy working on something, it's nice to play with Jep, she said. I think it makes us more productive. Jep also brings a lot of fun to the office. If you put your bag on the floor and there are treats inside, he always manages to fish them out. And sometimes he steals things, then runs through the whole office with a stack of paper or something. One thing about the setup that isn't quite as popular, the walking, said Jonker, especially in winter. In spite of this, both Jonker and Kusa think office pets are also good for team morale. We often laugh together about Sammy, said Kusa. She's scared of the printer and loves to climb into any box she can get her paws on. She often comes to the office with mice, too, although some aren't too keen on that. It's just entertaining to watch her. Taking care of Sammy together works well for team spirit. What's the best way of choosing the right pet for your office? According to behavioral psychologist Lotta Spinkerman, dogs and cats have roughly the same psychological effect on people. They reduce stress and increase productivity, mainly because they interact with you of their own accord, and when they pop over to your workstation, it's a good reminder that you might need to take a break, explained the psychologist. In the case of, say, a hamster, the effect is less pronounced, but if you don't feel like changing litter boxes or taking the dog for a walk, they're a bit more of a low-maintenance option. Watching fish can also be very relaxing, said Spinkerman. A fish tank has about the same effect on people as watching a hearth fire. That goes for birds or anything natural in the office like plants. Even smells have a soothing effect, with citrus smells being useful for calming. So, if the goal is to create a little peace and quiet in the workplace, you could instead opt for a lot of plants or a reed diffuser, or there's another alternative. You can give a colleague the responsibility of ensuring people get enough rest, said Spinkerman. They can tell you from time to time that you need a break and that it's time for a walk. An office pet may even help you get to know colleagues more quickly. Office animals have another effect that can be crucial to the success of your business. They're a great icebreaker, said Spinkerman. We know from psychology that if you find someone nicer, you move him, you move with him or her faster. And if someone looks like you, because he also has a dog, for example, it could be easier to make a deal. People with a dog are perceived as friendlier, said Enders. Jonker claims to have observed Jep has this effect on her clients. Of course, there are some who are afraid of dogs, and in that case, we leave Jep at home, or we take him elsewhere. But other clients will often give him a biscuit. Last year, he even got gifts at Christmas. He's a part of the company. Kusa said the same was the case with Sammy. At Christmas, our contacts get a Christmas card with Sammy on it. She represents us, and she's our pet. She's always there, even over the weekend. The cleaners and a colleague who lives in the neighborhood ensure that he gets enough attention and food. Kusa said she could no longer imagine an office without Sammy. I really don't want to think about what we would do if Sammy weren't around anymore, she said. We're really fond of her. I think if she weren't there, we'd definitely have to have another cat. In the news, a feel-good story for the holidays. This happened over Thanksgiving in Charleston, West Virginia. Over 200 volunteers walked shelter dogs on Thanksgiving morning. This was posted November 2019 by Aaron Noon at WWLP Channel 22 News in Charleston, West Virginia. These pooches are thankful for wagging tails, belly rubs, treats, and most of all of the volunteers at the Kanawha Charleston Humane Association. This is the first Kanawha Charleston Humane Association's seventh year doing their annual furry feast event, and also the largest number of volunteers to date. People from all over the state came to walk and spend time with furry friends on one of the biggest holidays of the year. We got this big idea to invite the public to walk our shelter dogs on Thanksgiving morning. Today, we have 217 volunteers to walk dogs for Furry Feast, said Chelsea Staley of the Kanawha Charleston Humane Association. Not only do the dogs get special attention from people today, they are also treated to their own Thanksgiving feast. Staley said, we serve a muttloaf, which is basically a human-grade turkey and sweet potato-type casserole. No butters, no sugars, of course, veterinary approved, but every pet in the building gets a serving of muttloaf. There are stockings hung on the kennels, so this really is the shelter pets' Christmas. The shelter had Black Friday deals on pets to find their forever homes. They had doorbuster deals on priceless pets, cats and kittens, free, dog adoptions as low as $0. All adoptions, included spay, neuter, vaccinations, microchip deworming, flea tick prevention, 30 days of free pet insurance, and more than $600 in coupons from Petco. During the holidays, we think about food, celebration, and family, often forgetting about the animals. This is one way to open your home and extend your love to the furry friends this holiday season. Also in the news, this posted on People.com by Kelly Bender. The 18th Annual National Dog Show, presented by Purina, which aired on Thanksgiving on NBC, has crowned its winner. Thor, the Bulldog, wins Best in Show at the 2019 National Dog Show. The champ is here. Yes, Thor, Bulldog, won Best in Show at the 18th Annual National Dog Show, presented by Purina, which aired on Thanksgiving Day on NBC. The mighty Thor is taking over the National Dog Show throne from Whiskey the Whippet, who earned Best in Show at last year's competition. Thor, whose registered show name is GCHG, Diamond, Gold, Majisu, Pisku, Bulls, bested thousands of other dogs to earn the top prize and a congratulatory snack with help from his handler, Eduardo Paris of Houston, Texas. Thor won today because of his structure and because he moves so well. He has been showing since September 2018 and has won 27 specialties. Since he has been showing, Paris proudly shared about the pooch. He shows 3 to 4 times a month. Before getting his ribbon, Thor won the non-sporting group to make it to the final Best in Show round. Joining him in this prestigious pack was Nick, the Siberian Husky, Daniel, the Golden Retriever, Blaine, the soft-coated Wheaton Terrier, Sophia, the Old English Sheepdog, Bono, the Havanese, and Maddie, the Faro Hound. When Thor isn't out strutting his stuff at a dog show, he has a fairly normal life. During the weekdays, Thor just loves to play and play, and then sleep, of course. He's very active and athletic. He can jump really, really high, Paris said. Thor is a very active and sweet dog. He loves to play with the Chihuahuas he lives with and all dogs, male and female. He has a great temperament and is wonderful with children, the Bulldog's handler added. After winning the big title, Thor and Paris are planning to relax a bit to celebrate. I think I am going to have a beer, and Thor will eat and sleep in my bed with me tonight, Paris said of the pair's post-show plans. And now for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That, Holiday Pet Health Tips from the ASPCA. We see an increased number of calls related to pet poisoning during the time between Thanksgiving and New Year's, says Dr. Stephen Hansen, director of the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center. Here's one holiday list you can use to keep the furry members of your family happy and healthy this season. Season's eating shouldn't include holiday greenery such as holly, mistletoe, lilies, and amaryllis. While commonly used to deck the halls, they can make your pet sick if ingested. Look before you light. Lit candles produce fumes that can be harmful to birds if inhaled. Oh, Christmas tree. Their branches definitely delight pets who've been known to chew on them and whatever decorations may be hanging from them. Keep the batteries loose and in packages away from pets, and don't allow your pets access to holiday spreads. If you suspect your pet has gotten into a potentially poisonous substance, you should call your veterinarian or the APC's emergency hotline. And this article is courtesy of ASPCA in New York, New York. And that will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for joining, for listening, and please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.